Hello and welcome to Jive Talkin', the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles and we're in Cowes for the majority of this programme as Matt Sheehan meets Team Origin boss Sir Keith Mills, as a British challenger meets cup holders BMW Oracle over the original America's Cup course in the Isle of Wight. Matt also looks at the future of the event with BMW Oracle's Tom Eamon. We also talk all things Extreme 40 with Cat legend Mitch Booth, and double Olympic medalist Ian Walker unveils his latest Volvo Ocean Race campaign in conjunction with the Abu Dhabi Tourism Authority. A packed programme indeed, but we have to start, as always, with the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. The latest Volvo Ocean Race entrant is from Abu Dhabi and will be skippered by Britain's Ian Walker, who led the Green Dragon campaign in the last edition. Cowes Week kicked off with a spectacular crash in the Extreme 40s. For Frank Camas, Group Armour 40, happily no one was hurt. The Wave Muscat leads the regatta. Later this week, Team Origin takes on BMW Oracle in a reconstruction of the original America's Cup racing around the Isle of Wight, and the nominations have begun for the 2010 ISAF Rolex World Sailor of the Year Awards. OK, now Ian Walker skippered his first Volvo campaign last time out after a very successful Olympic career and forays into the America's Cup. He's back this time with Abu Dhabi's entry. I began by asking him how that came about.
Hi, Guy. It's been a long... series of talks, really. We've been, Jamie, my business partner, and I, Jamie Bogan, and I have been trying to raise money for the next next edition of the race, really, since the last one finished. And a lot of those talks ended up, directed us towards Abu Dhabi, where we've been, we were part of an official bid process by the Abu Dhabi Tourist Authority, who just announced us as the preferred bidder, or the management team to run the team, and myself as the skipper. So, yeah, it's very big news. We've been very busy since we were told that, and today that came out in the public.
Now, Ian, you obviously, despite having it, it wasn't always the easiest trip around the world last time. You've obviously decided to give it another go. Is there unfinished business, or is it just the event? What was it that dragged you back?
Definitely the event. Considering all the difficulties we had last time. We really look back. I think everybody in the team look back with very fond memories of the race. And I think you see that. I think people do get a bit addicted to the race. It starts to get in your blood. And first and foremost, I'm a sportsman, and I want to try and win the race. And, it's fine to do the race once and gain a lot of experience. And now I need to try and step it up. And I think we know, what areas we can do better. And obviously we had a lot of limitations on our team last time. And this time we need to try and correct that. And people say you need to go to the Olympics once, and you look to win a medal at the second one, and I guess that's what I want to do this time.
Now, the ones that you mentioned, some of the lack of in the last campaign, one of that was for time ahead of the event. You were quite late coming to the Volvo last time. How much easier will it be this time, having this amount of lead time?
If I have the lead time, isn't a huge amount more. The race starts slightly later. And we have known for a little while now, so there is a little more lead time. I think the biggest difference is having the knowledge of what the budget is and what we're going to be working to, so that we can plan correctly, rather than really not knowing what was around the corner and having to sort of cut our cloth to suit as we went along. So it's a little bit different, but obviously the other big change is that last time round, when we came to the party, the leading Volvo 70 design groups in the world had already signed exclusive arrangements, whereas this time round, some of the top design houses were still available to us. So I think that actually, more than the time, I think that is going to make the biggest difference to our performance.
Now, last time you made a star out of Guo Chan in China. This time you will be sailing with someone from the United Arab Emirates. As well as that, have you started to put a team in place now?
Yes, I have. There's a few individuals, some of whom you might be able to guess and some you wouldn't be able to guess. And that's principally because you need sailing input to the design process. So I've targeted people who I can think help us to design a fast boat. And then the rest of the team selection will be an ongoing process. As you rightly say, we are going to choose a selected Emirati for the sailing team. That's something which I've really pushed hard for, based on our experience last time around with Gore Chan, if we're going to really promote the Volvo Ocean Race and promote sailing in the United Arab Emirates, then we need a local hero. And not only that, we now have time as well to train someone up so they can be a real asset to the team. So that's really one of my first big jobs when I get out to Abu Dhabi in about 6 weeks' time.
Six weeks' time, so a little bit of a gap. I take it that's because you're rather busy at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, part of my team are out there, some as we speak. I've been out there 8 or 10 times already this year, and I should pay a couple of short visits. But in terms of being down there full-time, I've got to finish up some other sailing commitments in TP52 class first, and then I shall get out there, and by then we hopefully should start to be getting ourselves set up to do a winter's training in Abu Dhabi.
Really looking forward to catching up with how everything goes along with the adventure in Abu Dhabi. But in the meantime, I'm talking to you out at the Copa del Rey at the moment. So how are things going now rather than the future?
Oh, it's good. I sail on a Spanish boat, Bribon. This is a big event because sometimes the King of Spain sails on Bribon, and this is his event, the King's Cup, out here in Palma. So it's a big event for us. The last event we did, we finished fourth in Barcelona, which was very good. And, in a very hotly contested fleet. This time around, today, we had a good day. We won the first race and the third in the second race. So I think we're 1 point off the lead. So not a bad first day, and we've still got 5 days to go. So we have to try and hold it together.
And I guess you're not short of old Volvo comrades as well on the TP52 circuit at the moment.
Well, going to the TP52 events are probably the best way of meeting pretty much any professional sailor that's out there, plus, of course, designers and sailmakers and sail designers and anybody at the performance end of the sport are pretty much at those events. So I have been doing a little bit of double business while I've been there, quietly in the evenings or early mornings.
Well, Ian, good luck with everything. Thanks very much indeed for taking the time to have a chat about things, and please keep us informed as to when the team's announced. I guess one final question is, what do you make of the fleet for the next Volvo Ocean Race? Because so many big campaigns have committed much earlier than last time. You've got much better view of who you're competing against, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. I think to date Volvo has been way ahead in terms of number of entries and the quality of the teams. You know, we now really have five first class teams entered in the race, different teams with different sponsors, which, although there were five good boats last time, you know, four of them were from just two sponsors. So I think actually the fleet is strong, but of course what we need now is depth in numbers, and it's really crucial over the next couple of months that some other teams come to the fray, either sailing boats from the last race, which I think can be very competitive with not much change to the course and not much change to the rule, or people who maybe still just about have time to build a new boat and get to the start line. So, you know, it's a crucial period. We all want to see 10 boats on the start line. I think the strength and depth at the front is there. What we now need is the numbers.
With Mitch Booth, currently the world champion, the first world champion in the Extreme 40 class. And, well, first of all, Mitch, congratulations. You've won a lot of other things, but now a world championship. How did that come about?
Well, the idea started earlier this year when we created the new team out of Slovenia, the Racing Club. And the idea was to have a world championship sometime soon, and just the way it fitted into the calendar, we didn't want to conflict with the Grand Prix series, the Extreme Sailing series, so it happened quicker than we expected, and the conditions suited us. It was our home water down there. We'd done a fair bit of training in the light conditions and came away with a win, so we're pretty happy.
By a point, I understand.
By a point, yeah. My old rivals, Roman Hagara and Hans-Peter Steinacher, Tornado rivals for many, many years, now sailing Red Bull. They did a great job. Of course, they're light weather specialists too, which makes it tough for us. But yeah, it was a great battle right down to the last run of the last race after, I think, 18 heats thereabouts.
Now, Mitch, given the fact you have won lots of different things in catamaran classes, how did this victory rate?
Well, yeah, I mean, different to a Tornado World Championship, perhaps, or a Hobie World or Formula 18 World Championship, where you've got 160 boats on the line. But this was a smaller fleet, but of the highest quality. I mean, the amount of world championships and world titles and Olympic medalists in the fleet was just staggering. So it's nice to race in such a quality fleet, although it was a small fleet. And, the boats are just fantastic in the conditions we had. So we had quality racing, which was very important. So it rates as a good title for us. We're very, very happy to win it.
Now, I'm catching up with you in Cowes for Cowes Week, where the Extreme 40s are always something of a hit. How have things gone so far for you there?
Well, we've had a bit of a mix. We've been up the front in a couple of races and down the back in a couple and in the middle. And so we're sort of mixing it up a bit. We haven't sailed in this much breeze as a team this season, so it's pretty hard going for us. Yesterday we had races very, very short, less than 10 minutes. So it was all about the start and the handling. We lost it on a few of the corners going around the marks, but we have to improve during this week, but I think we're hanging in there about middle of the leaderboard.
Now, Mitch, you've been with the Extreme 40s virtually since the word go. What is it about the class that really appeals to you?
Well, it was really my baby from the beginning, trying to create a giant tornado which was capable of taking a guest, a media or sponsor or just a non-sailor for an actual race. And part of the thrill of that is, seeing people, light up when they've never been on a sailboat or they've been sailing on something more traditional. They just have a real buzz, and particularly sailing with the quality of sailors on, in this regatta. But the other thing too is it's a fantastic boat to throw around a short course. It's very challenging. Very high performance, and it's just great fun to sail.
Now, I've been lucky enough to be that idiot guest on a couple of occasions, and thoroughly I've had the time of my life, I have to say. So what now for the rest of the season, Mitch? How does the rest of the season pan out for you?
Well, we're just focused on the upcoming events. The next one in Kiel, of course. I expect there could be some challenging conditions there, can blow there pretty hard, and then down to Trapani and finish up in Almeria. But we're just trying to improve over the season. We're a new team. We'll see how we go. There's a lot of the teams here back for the second, third, even fourth season, some of them, and they're pretty good, tight unit as a team, pretty hard competition. But if we can mix it up, get a couple of podiums during the season, during each event, then we'll be more than happy.
Well, Mitch, thanks very much for joining us. Good luck for the rest of Cowes Week and the rest of the season. And as I say, thanks once again for talking to us.
It's a pleasure. Anytime. Thanks.
Staying with events down in Cowes, Yachting World's Matt Sheehan is our man on the ground. First with Team Origin boss Sir Keith Mills.
So I'm here with Sir Keith Mills, who has just described himself as chief check writer for Team Origin. Keith, this is must be quite a proud moment for you. We've got the America's Cup here, we've got the America's Cup winners here, and you're about to embark on some match racing and a historic trip around, a historic recreational race around the Isle of Wight. It must be a proud moment.
It really is. I put this team together 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, And it's been a long time coming. Actually, I didn't, to be perfectly honest, didn't think we'd have America's Cup type racing in the UK until we actually won it and bought the cup back. But back in May, when Russell Coutts came over and had a chat about the future of the next cup, we thought it was just a great idea. This is America's Cup, home of Cowes, is in Cowes. Getting the two teams together, the British and the America's teams, to race here bringing the cup over is exactly what the cup needs. It needs to go, it's been 3 years of frustration for everyone, and for many in the general public, they really can't understand what the hell has been going on. So this is a great way to put the America's Cup back on track, and I think everyone here is going to have a great time.
It's been, as you say, it's been a long time, and it's not a route that I can imagine you would have even dreamt about when you started it.
No, I think it's true to say the last 3 or 4 years have been immensely frustrating, incredibly time-consuming, and bloody expensive. And I'm very pleased that that's all behind us now. And we're looking forward to working with Oracle on planning the next cup. It's certainly the cup needs to move up a gear or two. It needs to be much more independently organised, financially viable, very exciting for television, and we're supportive of all those things. And we hope actually the regatta here this week is a sort of step in the right direction. When you get people together and they spend time together, spend time talking, they spend time racing, figuring out how things move forward is a lot easier. So I think apart from great racing, this is going to be a great step in diplomatic terms.
Now, one of the interesting things about what's happening here this week at Cowes Week, we're just down on the front by the Royal Yacht Squadron, and during the week there's going to be the match racing between the two America's Cup boats, but just along the way, maybe not at the same time, there's also some pretty exciting racing in 40-foot multi-hulls going on. And of course this is the big debate between, at the moment, that the Cup seems to be facing, is does it go for a monohull, does it go for a multi-hull? Have you got half an eye on the extreme 40s? Is that what you're... Do you think there's any significance in the fact that there's, both the old and possibly the new here?
Well, we own an Extreme 40, and we had a season racing them, and they're fantastically exciting boats. They can create some great television pictures, particularly when they go pitch polling around the place. I personally just don't think they are the way forward for the America's Cup. I think that, or at least I've yet to be persuaded. I think by and large, multi-hull racing is much more like drag racing. And I think the America's Cup is much more like match racing. And I think if you're going to have a challenger and a defender duking out on a course, then it needs to be really close. And they need to be able to race closely, and racing multi-hulls closely is very challenging, and in particular they can be racing a long way apart, and that's not good for television, and it's not good for spectators.
How disappointed would you be if that was the outcome, though, if it's going to be multi-hulls? Would you lose your appetite for it? Or?
No, I think it depends on what they come up with. It was interesting that Oracle convened a meeting of all the designers back in May, 15 or so of them, and there was pretty strong consensus. 90%+ of those designers thought the best solution was a monohull. They thought it produced a better and closer form of racing, and I'd be surprised if they go down the multi-hull route, but we'll have to wait and see what they come up with, and I'm certainly not turning anything down at this stage, but I, our preference is monohull, unless they can come up with a multi-hull solution that's attractive.
Now, after the racing that goes on here, where does the team go next? You've got your TP52, and yep, that's obviously on the Audi Med Cup circuit. But what else is the team going to be up to this season?
Now, you're right, we've got the Audi Med Cup circuit to finish. We're off to Cartagena at the end of August. And then the next big sort of AC-type event is in Dubai, when 8 of the teams are all racing down there in the version 5 boats, the boats we brought here to Cowes. Between now and Christmas, the details for the next America's Cup, the venue, the timetable, the class rule, the protocol, all those things should in theory be resolved. And as things get resolved, then our team and other teams will start to ramp up their operations. The expectation is next year it'll be the design team that'll be sweating blood rather than the sailing team, because that's when the design of the new boats will start.
Mm. So really the end of the year is quite a key time.
Yeah, no, the next 6 months are really vital. It's important that we get the right solution, by that I mean the right class of boat. It's important we get the right protocol so that the playing field's level. And it's important that we have the right venues that are attractive to commercial partners and to the media.
With BMW Oracle in town, it seems silly for Matt not to catch up with Tom Eamon, Director of External Affairs for BMW Oracle Racing, and talk about the latest developments in the America's Cup world.
Well, we're in the process now of discussing with all of the challengers, and it's concluding, and especially our challenger of record, who is the first-in challenger, the Club Nautico di Roma, the yacht club of Rome, Vincenzo Honorato, Mascalzone Latino fame. He's done three cups. This will be his third cup. And we're in the process of coming up with those four big items: the date, the class of yacht, the venue, and the format or the rules. And Russell Coutts, our CEO, has laid out a schedule, and we'll have the so-called protocol, which are the rules and the format, out by the end of this month, by the end of August. And I think we're on schedule, maybe a little ahead of schedule of doing that. We're getting good input from all of the teams, and as we get that input, we go back and mark up and revise. So by the end of this month, we should know the format, the rules, what we call in the Cup World the protocol. By the end of September, we will have a class of yacht, a class rule, that will be the type of yacht, multi-hull, mono-hull, I don't know. That's being worked on. That will be done by the end of September, and then by the end of the year, in fact, we think even earlier than that, we'll know the venue, because that's the defender's prerogative to choose. But again, that needs to be discussed with in concert with the type of boat and the schedule and the date, and we will know the date, whether it's 2013 or 2014, and those seem to be the two dates that are most interest to most of the teams.
Now, there's been quite a lot of talk recently that actually, whilst people might assume that the next America's Cup would be in San Francisco, it might not be. It might be in Europe.
No, that's true. It might not be. Larry Ellison, our team owner, of course, is from San Francisco, and that's our home port, Golden Gate Yacht Club. And that has always been articulated by Larry as his first choice, as our first choice to host it, because it is a great natural arena. Matt, you've been there many times, and you can see from all around the bay. There's a lot of wind. You can start races reliably at 1 o'clock, and so on and so forth. The difficulty is trying to get facilities ready and getting the financial support to run a world-class event there. So we also have good interest in Europe. We obviously have Valencia, where the 07 Cup took place, and the facilities exist and the experience. And there are a couple other countries in Europe very keen to host a future Cup. So we're working on all possibilities, and hopefully we'll come up with the best possible format, scenario, venue for all concerned by the end of this year.
But that would be a really unusual move, wasn't it? It was unusual enough when the Cup went to Valencia, but that was because the Swiss don't have an arm of the sea. But for the Cup holder to actually hold it in another country would mark quite a significant change.
Well, except that in 07, the Swiss could have, by mutual consent, run it conceivably in Lake Geneva, but okay, that would have been a bit unusual. So they ran it in Spain. But that really set a new tone for the Cup, because we, as the trustee, the America's Cup is a charitable trust that dates back under New York law, you know, 159 years now. And we, as the trustee, are obligated to do best for all concerned, not just for what's good for us as the defender or the trustee. So it might be best to run it in San Francisco, but if that won't be the best possible event, we have to at least consider the other options before we simply decide to do it in San Francisco. So in the old days, I mean, look at New York Yacht Club. ran the Cup in New York Harbor from 1870 until the 1920s. Then they decided it would be better because it would be safer, more breeze, it'd be more interesting to go up to Newport out of the you know, it was getting unsafe to run it with all the commercial traffic in New York. So they took the unusual step of moving the Cup to Newport, Rhode Island in 1930. It was there in 30, 34, and 37, and then, of course, the war years, and it was reinvigorated in 58 and was there until the we New York Yacht Club lost it in 83. So there's precedent, and there's the obligation as the trustee to do the best possible thing for the Cup. Hopefully that will be San Francisco. Certainly that's Larry's goal. That's his, and our yacht club, Golden Gate Yacht Club, would love to have it there. But if there's a better alternative, then at least we need to explore that and be sure we're doing the right thing for all concerned.
Mm. Now, talking of alternatives, it's obviously no secret that there are trials going on and with a monohull versus a multi-hull, and that both of those options are our options. How are they going?
Well, Ian Burns, who's our design coordinator, has led a process, a consultative, extensive consultative process with designers from all of the past America's Cup teams. They've come up with two concepts, a multi-hull concept, a monohull concept. That consultation goes on. We've done some television trials week before last in Valencia using X-40s on one of the multi-hulls on the one hand and RC-44s, the monohulls, on the other. Very interesting. I think from that we all saw that perhaps the most important thing is wind and waves and sunshine. Both multi-hull and monohull were, I think, exceedingly good options. And then you have to think about scaling that up from 40 feet up to, you know, maybe 70-something, which is what the targets are in the concept rules right now. Ongoing process, ongoing discussion, certainly no decisions have been made, and we're listening to all concerned, including and especially the prospective America's Cup teams.
Now, you mentioned the TV trials there. The television company certainly had a hard time in the last America's Cup, or the one we've just had this year. How important is TV? Is that really right at the center? Is that the thing that really could make or break a successful America's Cup for the next time?
No one thing makes or breaks a successful event, including especially the America's Cup. We have to have a combination of great racing that's good for the sailors. We have to have some kind of a design competition that inspires the technology side, the design side of this. Then we have to have something that is hopefully better for spectators and media and sponsors, because this is the 21st century. That's important to all of us, to funding the teams, to what is now a professional event. And Larry Ellison has said over and over, he wants to insist that we move this ahead, we move this forward, including and especially with improved television. Russell is leading the way on that, Russell Coutts, our CEO. And the first thing he has said, you've got to have a place where you can start the race at 1 o'clock, if whatever time is the prescribed time, say 1 in the afternoon. When you say that, tell the TV, tell the spectators, tell the teams, we're going to start, and Harold Bennett or Peter Reggio started at 1 o'clock. So you got to have wind. Next thing, you got to have boats that, whether there is a little bit less wind or a little more wind, in other words, we can't have such a narrow wind range of what we've had lately, 7 to, say, 20, 22. We've got to be able to go in 3 to something, 30. That's maybe a little wide, but you got to be able to go yacht racing at the time the starting gun goes, irrespective of the conditions. So you have to have wind, you got to have a good venue, you got to have good boats, you have to have good teams, and a number of good teams. You don't want to just have one or two teams. And you've got to have a way to project all of that to the world. And that's, of course, in this day and age, is television. Not just broadcast television, not just cable. You've got to have internet and mobile devices and everything in between. So that, a lot of Larry's and Russell's and our time, energy, money, resources are going into television. And I think that's the correct decision.
Well, that's it for the latest edition of Jibe Talking. Please join us next time when we'll have all the latest news from the world of sailing and everything you need to know about the Volvo Ocean Race. In the meantime, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.com.